This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, an effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. I use it with my patients at the Hoffman Center all the time. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, the company is offering you special savings of $50 and free shipping. To find out more, go to TryZonaNow.com or call toll-free 1-866-669-9662. Be sure to mention Dr. Hoffman to get your $50 savings and free shipping. That's 1-866-669-9662 or TryZonaNow.com.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we've got lots to talk about this weekend, and we're going to share multiple stories with you that relate to your health and longevity. Please stay with us this hour and next, and you can participate. You can call us at 888-302-3684. That's our number. And plenty of time to field your questions. You can come right into the doctor's office and ask me something. 888-302-3684. So start the program with, I think, a very, very unique story. And it's not so much unique because of the subject matter. It's unique because of the placement of the story. The story is in the very mainstream and prestigious Scientific American, and it has to do with antidepressants. Antidepressants frequently prescribed in the U.S., now we're prescribing them to younger and younger individuals, adolescents, and even young children. And I saw a stark statistic. I think I recently reported that fully one quarter of adult women take antidepressants at some time or another. 25% of the populace. We're talking about tens of millions of individuals. And the title of the article is surprising for Scientific American: The Hidden Harm of Antidepressants. Antidepressants are some of the most commonly prescribed medications out there. The article says more than 1 out of 10 Americans age 12, over age 12, roughly 11% take these drugs. Astonishing statistic. And so what they're saying here is that in the latest and most comprehensive analysis, because this is the way it works with drugs, we often approve drugs and they're used for years and sometimes decades. And then we go back and evaluate the effectiveness or the potential dangers of these drugs only after they've been used on millions and millions of people. Well, in the British Medical Journal, a group of researchers showed that pharmaceutical companies weren't presenting the full story about the potential harms of antidepressants. They're, in effect, deep-sixing some of the downsides of these drugs. The researchers examined documents from 70 double-blind placebo-controlled trials, and they found, disturbingly, that the occurrence of suicidal thoughts and aggressive behavior doubled in children and adolescents who use these medications. Now, that is a very, very serious problem with greater implications than just for the welfare of the kids taking these medications. Because think of all these shooting incidents that we've had, these mass killings. And yeah, we're talking about guns, but we should also be talking about mental health. This is particularly important in the debate about school shootings in the United States and in other places because the perpetrators are frequently taking antidepressants. And it turns out that last week's British Medical Journal study was the first large-scale work to document an increase in aggressive behavior in children and adolescents. It's as if being depressed is one thing, but turning you into a stone-cold killer is another. It's even worse. The cure is worse than the disease. They also say in the Scientific American article that the pharmaceutical industry is being far from candid about the potential downsides of the medications that they prescribe. In fact, they say it's really hard to get the actual data that underlies the study conclusions. So, for example, in certain studies, when suicide attempts occurred, when individuals were given antidepressants, they were passed off as, quote, side effects, mild side effects, like emotional lability or worsening depression. But a suicide attempt is it's kind of an understatement to say it's worsening depression. The study confirms that the full degree of harm of antidepressants is not reported. And here's another very, very dire statistic. It turns out that a third of antidepressant studies were written by pharma employees, so they're not objective studies, and that when a study is written by a pharma employee, it's 22 times less likely than independent studies to include negative statements about the drug. So there's a bias that's introduced when a drug is studied by a pharmaceutical company to further its sale of antidepressant medications. So because studies found increased suicidal ideation with antidepressant use, back in 2004, the FDA gave these drugs a black box warning, which is a very, very extreme step. It's a label reserved for the most serious hazards. And so it is known and acknowledged that antidepressants can increase, in some cases, the risk of suicide. So one of the researchers who was interviewed for this story, she's Joanna Moncrief. She's a psychiatrist and researcher at University College in London, says, my view is that we really don't have good enough evidence that antidepressants are effective. Studies suggest that antidepressants are only marginally better than placebos, in some cases equivalent to placebos. And she says we have increasing evidence that they can be harmful. So, quote, we need to go into reverse and stop this increasing trend of prescribing them. And let me get this straight. I'm on the record here. I am not inalterably opposed to the use of antidepressant drugs. I think that they can provide a remarkable degree of relief for people suffering from profound depression. But all too often, they're prescribed before other more natural interventions are tried. Even cognitive behavioral therapy has been shown to be equivalent or superior to antidepressants. But these days, because of insurance and medical economics, it's a lot cheaper for a doctor to reach for the prescription pad and prescribe a pill rather than to go through exhaustive psychotherapy, you know, over multiple sessions. Insurance companies aren't willing to pay for that. They want a quick fix with a drug that's cheap and economical. And the pharmaceutical companies are pushing these medications to doctors who willingly prescribe them. But in some instances, they're beneficial. But in so many cases, I see so many patients like this, there are other underlying causes, nutritional deficiencies, hypothyroidism that's improperly diagnosed, simple dietary factors, lack of essential fatty acids, too much sugar in the diet that causes ups and downs of mood, low levels of testosterone in men, hormone changes in women that make them more prone to depression, inflammation, which literally causes the brain to function poorly and results in mood alterations. That is demonstrated by the fact that curcumin, which is a powerful anti-inflammatory, it helps your joints, but it's also been shown in studies to be helpful for depression, perhaps because it reduces inflammation in the brain. 888-302-3684. We invite you to get in on the conversation. We've got lots more to talk about on this weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine.
You're listening to Intelligent Medicine, brought to you by yours truly and the Hoffman Center. You can find a lot more on Intelligent Medicine at drhoffman.com.
Subscribe to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast and automatically get a new episode 5 days a week. And please rate and review the podcast on iTunes to help us spread the word about intelligent medicine. Also go to drhoffman.com and click on the store to buy your supplements via our convenient internet portal or call the Hoffman Center and talk to one of our friendly supplement advisors. We only stock the very highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere, the very same supplements I prescribe to my patients at the Hoffman Center. Finally, become a patient at the Hoffman Center. I'll personally perform an extensive workup on you, applying all the intelligent medicine principles you hear about on the radio show and podcast, or make an appointment with Layla Mudin, our Hoffman Center nutritionist. You already know her as a frequent contributor on Intelligent Medicine, and she'll provide you with expert advice on diet and supplements. Thanks for listening and for helping to spread the word about Intelligent Medicine. Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. And before we get to your calls, by the way, our number is 888-302-3684 for comments or questions. Let me tell you about the Zona Plus. You know, blood pressure management, a big problem because most people end up relying on medications that have lots of side effects. And sometimes diet and exercise doesn't do the trick. So I was really excited to discover an effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. It's called the Zona Plus. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure 10% or more naturally. It's so effective, it works for 9 in 10 people. And I've been in touch with the people at Zona Plus. And since I've been talking about it, they say people have been calling up and saying, I tried it, and it works. It's the real deal. Many of my patients have tried it. It's effective for them. I've even gotten comments on Facebook saying it works. It's a high-tech smart device that guides you through a patented therapy that's personalized to your unique physiology. You use it once a day for just 12 minutes. It's a little ritual that you go through on a daily basis. You got to be consistent. At least 22 clinical studies confirm regular use can result in an average decrease in blood pressure of 10% or more in just 4 to 8 weeks of consistent use with no negative side effects. It's gotten good reviews by Mayo Clinic, Harvard Health Letter, and the American Heart Association. And now you can try it risk-free. We've got a special program whereby Zona Health offers a 100% satisfaction guarantee. So try the Zona Plus for 3 months and see if it works for you. And if it doesn't, return it for a full refund. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, the company is offering you savings of $50 and free shipping. To find out more, go to tryzonanow.com or call toll-free 866-669-9662. Be sure to mention Dr. Hoffman to get your $50 savings and free shipping. That's 866-669-9662 or go to the web and try zonanow.com. Try zonanow.com. All right, let's talk to Adam out there in Iowa. How you doing? Hello, Adam.
Hi there. Hi there. I had a question on how you felt about medical cannabis with depression and also as an anti-inflammatory.
I am really, really excited about the potential of medical cannabinoids. And I think we have to distinguish between marijuana, which is not something that I'm really in favor of because, it can be used as a recreational drug. Some people do okay. But I think the problem with the legalizing marijuana is that too many kids younger and younger are going to begin using it. And I think that it really tends to slow cognitive development. It creates a lot of mental confusion. It can promote higher risk of schizophrenia. There's a lot of downsides to making it readily available. Although, look, I mean, let's face it, even when it was a big bust to have to smoke a joint, now laws are more lenient, people were still obtaining it. So, you know, prohibition didn't work for alcohol, probably not going to work for, marijuana. But when it comes to cannabinoids that are specially prepared to have lower amounts of THC, THC is the hallucinogenic part. CBD or cannabidiol is a very interesting substance. It has anti-inflammatory properties. It may ease anxiety. I had a really interesting conversation with a patient who I've been treating for a long time, decades, 20 or 25 years. And we helped her with a lot of problems, but she's always had insomnia. She's in her early 80s. She's very dynamic. She runs her own business. She's really with it. But she has always said that she's had insomnia. And so we kind of, each time we ask, you know, how's the insomnia going? We tried this, that, and the other thing. It hasn't worked. I said, how's your insomnia? She says, I found the answer. I said, well, tell me, what's the answer? She says, well, my granddaughter said, grandma, why don't you try cannabidiol, CBD extract? It's available, and you can try a few drops every night. And she says that it's really worked for her. And I said, well, doesn't it make you groggy the next day or hungover or unsteady? And she said, no, I have a great night's sleep. I wake up refreshed and there's no after effect. So, yeah. I think that there's some real potential there. You know, the laws are very, non-uniform about that. It varies from state to state in terms of whether you can obtain that. Lately I've been exploring, hemp oil as a legal alternative to, purified CBD. It does have a CBD content and it's legal. It's available over the counter. It doesn't advertise itself as CBD. But, hemp oil has some of those effects. It's anti-inflammatory. And I think that this is the next big supplement. You know, it's gonna hit the supplement market. It's not gonna be something, I mean, there'll be some medical aspects to it. I know there's a law in New York now that allows doctors to prescribe CBD, or
what
medical
marijuana.
What is
the percentage of CBD in the hemp oil?
I'm not entirely sure. I'm not entirely sure. That's a good question. I'd have to look. And I'm sure that's available from the manufacturer.
You know, there's about 10 to 20 strains that have higher CBD than THC. Mm-hmm. I've been a medical cannabis patient for about 10 years.
How has it worked for you? How has it worked for you? And what condition are you taking
excellent.
It from?
I was in a severe car accident. I completely shattered both mm-hmm. bones in my left arm. Had a softball yep. size hematoma on my brain.
It's for pain.
For pain, correct. And I did suffer with depression after that. And I'm happy to say I don't take pharmaceuticals anymore. Cannabis.
That is great because,
wonderful.
You know, you could have been an invalid. You could have been someone who was absolutely, you know, completely sidetracked and permanent disability because of that due to dependency on opioid medications. And there's so many people who get hooked and, you know, ultimately they die. They die either of the medications or they die of medical consequences of being completely, immobilized and narcotized by these drugs. So good for you. I think there's great potential to cannabinoids. We'll be right back with more of Intelligent Medicine.
Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor here, president of the Texas Organic Research Center. As you probably know, it's a toxic world out there, but we can do something about it. Become knowledgeable consumers and use products that are safe and healthy, such as natural supplements that help protect the body's cells from toxic exposure. One of my favorites is Reg Active with ME3, the only probiotic proven to actually produce glutathione in the body. It's the body's master antioxidant, unique in its ability to repair and rebuild cellular damage caused by free radicals and exposure to environmental toxins. Glutathione decreases as we age. Reg Active is great for rebuilding it, and I strongly recommend it.
Look for Reg Active at Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide where Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are sold. Revolutionary. Remarkable. Reg Active.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you, and everybody's watching the Olympics, and it's very exciting. Lots of victories for the U.S., and I'm particularly interested in watching the swimmers. They're just astounding in their endurance and speed and form. Michael Phelps and Katie Ledecky and Ryan Lochte, Lily King, and new phenom Simone Manuel. They're just doing an astounding job. And for some of us, exercise is a chore, not something that we look forward to. And according to a new study, when it comes to exercise, you gotta believe. That's the old Mets slogan that season when they looked like they were so abysmal for so many years, and then ultimately they came back in 1969 and won the World Series. So the headline of the story, believe it or not, exercise does more good if you believe it will. This is based on a study in the Journal of Behavioral Medicine entitled Expectations Affect Psychological and Neurophysiological Benefits Even After a Single Bout of Exercise. The researchers invited 76 men and women between the ages of 18 and 32, where they exercised for 30 minutes on a bicycle ergometer. The participants then filled out questionnaires asking about their well-being and their mood before and after the exercise. One group got a film which just talked about generalities. Another one got a film which was a pep talk about the benefits of exercise. So they had, it's like a placebo film, right? You know, the placebo pill, there's a placebo film, but the active intervention was to show them a series of films that inspired them to do the exercise because of all the health benefits. And what they found was, indeed, the group, you know, they did identical amounts of exercise, but the group that watched the films that were exhorting them to exercise and how beneficial it was had a bigger response. They did better in terms of mood, and their EEGs, their brain activity, lit up more after exercise when they were encouraged to believe in the benefits. So when you get out there and you're slogging and it's hot and you're just saying, "Why? This is disgusting. Why am I doing it? Oh, my doctor makes me do this. It's my wife's nagging me. My husband's nagging me." No, that will undermine the benefits of your exercise bout. All right, let's talk to Dave in Iowa. How you doing? Everybody's calling from Iowa these days.
Yeah, well, thanks for taking my call, Doc. Hey, sure. You know, you just mentioned that. I've been on the phone for quite a while, and I'm just so excited that you actually said that the mind makes a big difference in your attitude. And
so what's your question, Dave?
Okay, the question was that I was taking a Wellbutrin, which was told to me to by a doctor to take it, that I had anxieties for my medical condition.
Right.
And I started taking them, and I was taking them religiously because my wife's an RN. She was forcing them down me, had to. And I decided not to take them, okay? I threw them in the trash. I said, no, I'm not taking them anymore because I'm just going to make up my mind whether they're helping or not. I didn't know it, but so I just gave up on them. And I said, I want to make up my mind that I'm going to get better. And
so your question is about natural alternatives to Wellbutrin? I want to help you along to formulate a question, because I don't, at the end of your sentences, I don't hear a question mark. I need to hear question mark.
Okay, this was the mind controls our body pretty much, you know, well, and I think.
But Dave, I don't hear a question mark. What's the question?
Okay. The question is, do you agree that the mind can tell you whether you should be taking the medicine or should you?
Bingo. That's a question. Okay, so let me respond to that. You know, Wellbutrin is an antidepressant. We talked about the lack of efficacy of antidepressants in the story I did at the top of the hour. And, you know, for some people, they are a breakthrough and they really can improve things. For others, the benefits are slight. And I see a lot of patients like that in my office, and they decide side effects don't warrant the slight benefits that they're obtaining. Can the mind encourage you to, you know, obviously antidepressants are used to affect mood and attitude. And it's been shown that cognitive behavioral therapy, which is basically talk therapy, can exert changes on the brain that are comparable. You know, they do brain imaging and they see, they want to prove that antidepressants work. So they say, the antidepressants restructure the brain. They cause certain areas of the brain that don't light up to light up properly. So the antidepressants, therefore objectively work. Well, cognitive behavioral therapy or talk therapy or even sometimes reading a self-help book, can do some of the same things. And that's not even talking about the benefits of certain nutritional interventions, using lots of omega-3 fatty acids. That's been shown to be helpful. Using magnesium, using curcumin. I don't know what kind of situation you're involved in because I'm not on the ground with you out there, and I'm not sure whether it's warranted for you to take the medication, so I'm not going to pass judgment on that. It seems that there's some element of coercion there when, you know, other people want you to take the medication, but you don't. Sometimes people have a right to stand up for, you know, their right not to take medication, and sometimes they're in denial about their psychiatric condition. So, you know, I don't know the answer in your particular case. 888-302-3684 is our number. And speaking of the brain, okay, curcumin. New research is showing that curcumin encourages the immune system to send macrophages to the brain. Now you can say, what good is that? Well, macrophages are the cleanup crew of the body. They are, if you can envision, little Pac-Men running around the body, engulfing invaders or cleaning up cellular debris. Now the brain continuously produces cellular debris. Part of the answer to that is sleep. Sleep actually cleans up some of that cellular debris. And one of the reasons why sleep deprivation is so bad for you is because literally your brain gets clogged up with garbage. You know, it's nighttime, you know, the garbage trucks come by and pick up the garbage. Same thing happens in your brain. And if you don't allow yourself adequate sleep time, or if you have poor sleep quality, your brain accumulates gunk. And so it turns out that curcumin encourages the cleanup via a specialized form of macrophages within the brain. This is a landmark clinical trial involving people with cognitive decline, not quite Alzheimer's, but cognitive decline, sometimes called MCI, minimal cognitive decline, which is maybe a precursor to Alzheimer's or dementia. What they found is the participants taking curcumin had significantly higher levels of dissolved abnormal proteins in their blood compared to those in the placebo group. In other words, the breakdown products of the gunk that can accumulate in the brain. So this study showed that curcumin has the ability to effectively pass into the brain. That's important because a lot of things that you take by mouth, they can reduce inflammation in other parts of the body, but they don't really do that in the brain. That curcumin can bind to this debris and assist the body in the breakdown of the debris. And also it has anti-inflammatory and anti-free radical effects. So, therefore, it seems to be a potent inhibitor of the body's most powerful inflammation-causing chemical. That's NF-kappa B. And that really is the name of the game when it comes to slowing brain inflammation in neurodegenerative diseases like Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, possibly ALS. So, you know, not that there's some magical panacea cure for these very devastating conditions, but certainly they may help to slow or prevent the onset of neurodegenerative problems. So good news about curcumin when it comes to the brain. Here's an interesting demographic fact. We've reached a milestone in the history of the world because soon, by 2030, 56 countries will have more people age 65 and over than children under 15. It's not happened yet. Began in 1995 in a single country, Italy, where there was a demographic flip. Now, historically, there weren't that many people over the age of 65. Now, there are a ton of people over 65. In fact, there's a burgeoning population of centenarians across the world. It's a worldwide phenomenon. It has to do with better nutrition, better medical care, freedom from the ravages of disease. So in 1995, this happened in Italy. As the birth rate declined and as the survival rate increased, and it's going to extend all over the world to countries as diverse as New Zealand and Georgia, a former Soviet republic. So what this portends is that we're going to have a lot more older people, and that 65 is the new 45 to some extent, and also we're going to have a lot more need for medical care and anti-aging strategies as people live longer and longer. It also means there are going to be less young people to support and care for older people because we're doing a demographic flip. I think another factor is birth control. Birth control being offering people the option to control the size of their families and number of offspring. Also marriage trends tending to favor sometimes childless singles. So times they are changing. And the over 65s are going to be in the ascendancy. 888-302-3684. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Do you know there is a silent killer living among us? High blood pressure. It affects nearly 1 in 3 Americans and is a primary risk factor for stroke and heart attack. The CDC estimates that almost 20% of those with high blood pressure don't even know they have it. That's not surprising, since high blood pressure or hypertension is often symptomless. Research studies have shown that a daily dose of aged garlic extract can safely and effectively help to reduce blood pressure, as well as benefiting a number of other cardiovascular risk factors. And the most researched and highly respected aged garlic extract is all-natural Kyolic aged garlic extract. Odorless and organically grown, Kyolic aged garlic extract has been clinically tested to support blood pressure and cardiovascular health. So, along with getting your blood pressure checked regularly, get Kyolic Formula 109 for blood pressure and cardiovascular support today. Available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. And it's back, the Hostess Twinkie. For a while it was on hiatus. They couldn't get the company to manufacture it in the United States, so they moved south of the border, and the company took it over, and they resumed production. But it's back in a new guise. Deep-fried Twinkies. So no longer do you have to go to the state fair to get deep-fried Hostess Twinkies. It's a regular Twinkie that's coated with a cake funnel batter, and then it proceeds through an oil bath to ensure that the batter adheres. The Twinkies are then flash frozen and packaged. So the vanilla cream version has 220 calories, 9 grams of fat, and 16 grams of sugar. That's a lot more than a regular Twinkie, which has just only 130 calories and only 4 grams of fat as opposed to 16. And so I was kind of surprised because I thought, you know, only 220 calories? How can that be? I mean, it's a deep-fried Twinkie. But then I look at the preparation instructions. You're supposed to pull it out of the freezer and bake for 6 to 8 minutes in the oven at 350 degrees. Well, it's not really deep fried then. Alternatively, and this is for real aficionados, if you want it to taste just like at the Iowa State Fair, you take it out of the freezer and you throw it into a deep fryer for 2.5 to 3 minutes. And so the calorie count on the box, 220 calories, does not reflect all the oil that would be absorbed by the product in the deep fryer, which would really make it a calorie bomb. So I posted this on Facebook, you know, tongue in cheek, and people reacted appropriately. People wrote, yuck. They wrote, it's bad food. I got a lot of comments. I can't believe people eat this. Nutritional disaster. And then I got an interesting comment from a lady named Liz, who apparently is from New Zealand. And it seems that humor and sarcasm don't really cross the equator very well, because Liz wrote, how on earth can you have a site about health and include a post about this sort of dead, chemical, toxic, life-sapping, denuded crap non-food? Do you have no ethics? You should be ashamed of yourself for posting this for money from advertising such rubbish. Unethical and uncaring. I am withdrawing from this phony site, and I hope other readers follow me out. So, I'm sorry, Liz, that you're upset, but I guess you have a tin ear for sarcasm. 888-302-3684 is our number here on Intelligent Medicine. By the way, you can email us your question to radioprogram@AOL.com. That's a way that you can get your question to us, and we'll use your question as grist for the mill for our weekly Q&A with Layla, wherein we answer listener questions that don't make it to our regular radio broadcast. Headline, brains of overweight people 10 years older than lean counterparts at middle age. So this is, if you're overweight and you're middle age, they can now, through brain imaging, determine your brain age. They calculate how white matter volume relates to age. They discovered that an overweight person at, say, 50 years old had a comparable white matter volume to a lean person age 60 years old, implying a difference in brain age of 10 years. So clearly, as your brain ages, it shrinks in size. But they say it isn't clear why people who are overweight have a greater reduction in the amount of white matter. We can only speculate on whether obesity might in some way cause these changes or whether obesity is a consequent of brain changes. That's interesting that they say that obesity is a consequent of brain changes, because a recent study suggests that people who are overweight have a decrease in the size of their hippocampus, which may cause them to have poor memory about the food they eat. So they forget that they're full, and they just keep eating and not obeying satiety signals. That may complicate the treatment of obesity, because it's a brain disorder. It's actually deeply embedded in the brain, where there are faulty signals that cause you to eat abnormally. And they actually did an experiment. They found that people with these shrunken hippocampuses who are overweight, when presented with snack options, even when they're full, were more likely to go for snack options than normal weight individuals. So this is very, very discouraging information about the effects of overweight. All right, cycling, something that I'm into, something that we've seen a lot of with the recent Tour de France and with the Olympics. Very exciting cycling, by the way, in the Olympics, some major crashes. A European study shows that car drivers are on average 4 kilos heavier than cyclists. Okay? It may be, you know, correlation isn't necessarily causation. Maybe if you're heavy, you feel it's harder to get on a bike and ride. But more likely, cycling helps people maintain normal weight. So what they found was that there was actually a direct correlation between the amount of cycling, and your weight. And suggest that maybe, just maybe, we should be emulating our European counterparts in facilitating bike choices to get people to work. A new study suggests that ALS, the dread disease, Lou Gehrig's disease, for which there's no known cure, and I'm not saying here that this is a some breakthrough nutritional supplement that cures ALS, but a new study suggests that there are environmental factors that may contribute to ALS. They looked at blood samples from normal individuals, and they looked at blood samples with of individuals with ALS, and they found that concentrations of 122 environmental pollutants were higher in the ALS patients. Organochlorine pesticides, polychlorinated biphenyls, brominated flame retardants, all these were higher in the ALS patients. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.